Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, David Sloan, a former baseball agent. And David, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it.
So how many GM jobs were you offered? 3, 7, 5.
Well, look, before we get into that, if you don't mind, I'd like to weigh in on what you were talking about a moment ago, the Eli Manning situation.
Oh, look at this. All right.
Are you a Giant, are you a Giant fan?
I'm a mercenary, so I don't really root for teams. I root for people. And okay. I've always been a Manning fan going back to Archie. But with that said, very few players ever get to walk away when they're done with the game. More often, they leave when the game is done with them. And it's the toughest decision generally that a player has to make because, you know, once that transition takes place, generally, with very few exceptions, there's no going back. And I agree, and I'm not trying to kiss up to you guys, but I agree with what you said in regard to the way that this needs to be handled. With all due respect, probably handled sooner rather than later. The Giants aren't likely to win the Super Bowl this year. And that being said, Eli's not likely to be their quarterback next year. And the best thing that they could do would be to get moving on that particular idea.
And I think they would. Would you as an agent tell your own player something like that, the hard truths of where they are in their career? Do you kind of let them figure it out?
No, I have made that statement to several players, you know, obviously as diplomatically and as gently as possible. But I mean, look, the least I owe somebody and the most I can do for them is to tell them the truth. And that's whether it's a client or a friend or a business associate or my dog, for that matter. And at a point where it becomes as obvious as it is in the Manning situation, I would definitely not hesitate to say something. I do agree with, I believe it was the caller that mentioned that the line has not done him any favors, including, you know, they just a while ago released the human turnstile Eric Flowers, who I'm really sad to say that because I live in South Florida and I've been a University of Miami fan, and he is a former Hurricane, but God, he was disappointing.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So at any rate, I know that's not what you wanted to talk about. And to answer your question, no one ever offered me a GM job. And quite frankly, had they done so, I wouldn't have taken it. I grew up, my father was involved in the labor movement when he was a young man. And I grew up very, very, very pro-labor. You may be familiar with the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. My aunt worked there. Fortunately for her, she got another job about a month before the fire. So labor activism and favoring that side of the table runs very deep in my DNA, and then having had the opportunity to know and have somewhat of a relationship with Marvin Miller, that was driven even deeper. Marvin is directly responsible for my remaining in the agent business. I had a bad experience with an arbitration case many years ago, back in the mid-80s, and I was ready to walk away from the game. I presented the best arbitration case I could possibly have presented and lost the case. And Marvin said to me, listen, if you want to do that, I can't blame you, but we need good people like you in this business, and I hope you'll reconsider. And trust me when I tell you, had it not been for that, I would have pursued another line of work a long, long time ago. Mm. Because I didn't have the option to become a GM, but I did have the option to do other things in life.
All right, David.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to ask you about Van Wagenen. I mean, do you think that he's going to be successful?
Well, here's the thing, guys. When I first got into this business in 1974, almost every general manager in the game had started off in one form or another through the, let's call it, on-field entryway. They were former players. There were people that had been scouts. There were people that had been involved in the administrative level. I mean, I had contact with the people who their first job in baseball was a ticket taker at the stadium. Another person was a guy who ran the scoreboard at a stadium, and that's how they got their foot in the door. But over time, the transition began to looking more towards people with an academic background. Now, an awful lot of them, like Van Wagner and Brian Cashman, had playing experience in college, but in pro ball, in various ways, they served their apprenticeship. My first contact with Theo Epstein, he was an intern in the San Diego Padres minor league office, and he moved up the ladder pretty quickly. The challenge for Van Wagner will be that he doesn't have the contacts that a guy like Epstein, as an example, or Cashman. When I first met Cashman, he was Bob Watson's assistant.
Right.
And to get to that point, he had to work his way up through the Yankees organization that he had an opportunity to get into because his family had connections to Mr. Steinbrenner. But nonetheless, he sort of served his apprenticeship and made contacts with people on the coaching side, on the scouting side. And he learned from them as he made his way up the ladder. And he also learned how to run a large organization. Now, Van Wagenen hasn't had that exact experience, but he has had experience in terms of player evaluation, because that's an important part of an agent's job. You either have to rely on your own eyes and ears to tell you what you're seeing and whether a player is a good prospect or not, or you develop contacts with people who have professional experience with that and you get the input from there. He's also had experience running a pretty damn big organization. I mean, CAA represents more players than any other agency, as far as I am aware. And therefore, he has been involved in running a pretty sizable organization. I would say one on the same scale with many of the teams in the big league. So from that perspective, I don't think he will face any insurmountable challenges. And does he have a steep learning curve? I don't know how steep it will be. I think he definitely has a learning curve, as everybody does when they first change rules. But I don't think it's going to be that difficult for him in terms of the tasks he has to complete to move from one side of the table to the other side. Now, there will be some challenges for him because usually a guy like Epstein or Cashman or Alex Anthopoulos in Atlanta or John Daniels in Texas, these guys, as they move up the ladder, they develop contacts with people who are in other organizations in similar roles that they're in. And those contacts help them in innumerable ways in terms of evaluating players for trades and in terms of where the market's going, all the various minutia that has to be handled by people who fill that role. He hasn't developed those contacts as such. Now, he does have relationships, obviously, with general managers that he's negotiated with, but it's very different having a relationship where I'm calling you, for example, and I'm saying, okay, my client wants X, and you're saying, well, we're willing to offer him Y, and then the conversation takes place on that basis, as opposed to my calling you up and saying, hey, listen, I really like Joe Jones in your organization. What's it going to take to trade for him? That's a completely different type of negotiation. But I don't think it's a challenge that he can't meet. Now, it is an outside-the-box hire, without any doubt, and I think completely unexpected. When I remember when I was first reading about it, my honest first comment was, really? Mm. This guy's even interviewing for the job? Because first of all, he's probably taking a pay cut.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, but it must be something that he really wants to take on what otherwise would be considered a vanity project. He wants to be able to go into this and do it. And, you know, it has been done before. Joe Garagiola Jr., whom I dealt with, and Dave Stewart, who I dealt with as well, both made the transition from being agents to working on the dark side. And then in Stewart's case, moved back over to the side of goodness and light. And in Garagiola's side, stayed on the MLB side. So it has been done before. I don't think you're going to find a whole lot of people that are going to stand up and say that Dave Stewart did an excellent job in Arizona.
No.
And Garagiola with the same team. He was there at a different point in time where the role he played was more to make that a good organization as opposed to take it from a good organization to a great one. But, you know, can you judge Van Wagenen on their accomplishments or lack of same any more than you can judge a guy who's a general manager and got there by way of being a player or scout by comparing him to somebody else who got into a GM job by being a player or a scout.
Let me ask you about an aspect that I'm starting to think about as a potential concern. We're talking to David Sloan, used to be a baseball agent. You're an agent, and I'm sure some of your clients, you know, it's just a business relationship, whatever, but I'm sure some of your clients you become friends with. You know their family, you know their kids, you like the guy. Brody represents what feels like half the Mets. Jacob DeGrom is one thing. He represents Jason Vargas. Jason Vargas is not very good at baseball. Can he make it? Or Todd Frazier did not have a great year last year. Is it going to be difficult to make a decision separating your friendship with a guy? You've been in his home. You've recruited him. You love him. You probably got Christmas gifts for the kid. Can he trade Todd Frazier? Can he tell Jason Vargas, you know what, you're not very good. We're going to actually get rid of you. Is that part going to be a transition for him? Because now all of a sudden he goes from repping the guy to having to make these hard decisions about the guy.
That is the biggest hurdle he's going to have to overcome. I was at Mike Timlin's wedding. He was at my son's bar mitzvah. I was at Carlos Delgado's wedding. You know, I did develop friendly relationships with several of my clients, some of whom I have a former client, Dave Frost, pitched in the majors for the Angels and the White Sox. I first began representing him in 1978. I'm still friends with him. We still talk on a regular basis. I have other clients that you've never heard of because they didn't make it to the big leagues, but nonetheless, I'm still friends with them. And these are people that I represented, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago in some cases. So yes, there is an issue there. And the issue, in my estimation, is very much, if I was a player, I would be concerned. And CAA, as I say, represents more players than any other organization. So it's not just guys on the Mets, but it's guys on other organizations. If you're a player on the Texas Rangers, are you not concerned that here's somebody who you've had discussions with as to, okay, 2 years from now, you're a free agent. What do you think it's going to take to keep you in Texas? In addition to that, you're a guy who, you know, maybe you've had a little bit of a sore elbow, but it's never been bad enough that you needed to have surgery. But it could just be a, you know, disaster waiting to happen and something that you've talked to your agent about and said, I can pitch another 3 years with this. And at that point, I'm probably going to be done with the game. And then, you know, I'll get my elbow operated on so I can play catch with my kid.
Right.
But in the meantime, you're sitting there with a ticking time bomb in your elbow. And now, pardon me, is this person who just got the job as the GM with the Mets going to share that information with the GM for the Rangers? So that would be, to me, more of a concern than whether he's going to be able to take care of his job in spite of the relationships that he's developed. Because, listen, when it all comes down, it's a quote from The Godfather. It's just business.
Yeah, exactly right. Nothing personal. Exactly right.
Exactly. Yep.
I like that. We're talking to David Sloan, former Major League Baseball agent. Now, as a Met fan, here's the thing that I'm most concerned about, and that Brody Van Wagenen being an ultimate salesman, which all you guys are, okay, you know, I got an agent, Evans, they're all you guys are salesmen, that Brody Van Wagenen can go to the Wilpons and convince Jeff Wilpon to open up the vault and pay for big-time free agents. That is what I want. Do you feel that he can do that? Would you think he would try to do that? How about that?
Well, first of all, I don't think he would have taken the job unless he had gotten some sort of assurances as to the direction the team would take if he took the job. That's number one. Number two, the key to creating a winning team isn't opening up the vault and paying big money to big players. It's opening up the vault for the best players. Because the best players may be guys that aren't free agents. If you look at the numbers, since 2010, more players have been signed to contract extensions in the 2 to 3 year service group than any other group by service time.
Right.
So in many, many, many instances, it's a way better investment for the team to go to a guy that's a 2+ player and say, we want to sign you for 5 years with a couple of options on top of that, and we're going to pay you significantly more money than you would get otherwise, but we want you in this organization, as opposed to going out and overpaying for a guy for 5 years, knowing that you're only likely to get 2 years really good ones out of him, and you're going to be paying for 3 years of the downside of his career.
Yeah, it's the way baseball's trended. That's why this free agency feels so different, because usually the guys who get to free agency, the really good young players in their prime, have already been locked up. And if they're locked up before they get there, that's why Machado and Harper being out there is different. It's weird. We usually don't see guys of this caliber at this age getting to free agency.
Well, the reason free agency has changed, quite frankly, is because the Players Association made the worst deal on the collective bargaining agreement that they recently negotiated. You know, they effectively kept the amount for the luxury tax to kick in lower, then went to the membership and said, look at what a great job we did. We just restricted the amount of money that teams are going to be willing to spend on you guys.
Right.
That's absurd. That's why free agency has taken the path that it took last year. If you go back to previous years when the collective bargaining agreement wasn't a steaming pile of crap, you had
pile of crap.
You had players who were marginally better than you two and me, okay, getting millions of dollars because teams were in a position where, number one, they had money to spend and there was no restriction on it, and number two, at the very least, they wanted to spend a little bit of money to create an off-season buzz. So even if it was a guy who maybe didn't live up to his previous performance levels, was at least going to be a guy that the team could point to and say, ticket buyers, we made an effort to improve this team. Come on out and see us.
Right.
That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore. Look, Charlie Finley, when arbitration was first put into the collective bargaining agreement, Charlie Finley was screaming at the other owners, do not let this happen. And he said, forget free agency. Arbitration is the big thing that's going to kill baseball because players are able to compare their stats one to the other. However, with that said, if you go back there, everybody was predicting that free agency was going to be the death of baseball. Well, it hasn't been. It's really been the lifeblood of baseball. Teams have improved their performance through it. They've improved their PR, if you will, through it. So it's really been a great thing for baseball. However, restricting it by choking off the fountain of money that is flowing into baseball in terms of what the players are able to get was a huge mistake, an absolute huge mistake. And what did they get in return for it? Every player gets a suite. Wow, it better be the best hotel room you ever stayed in. And they got a personal chef in the locker room. Oh, my God, it better be Emerald or you know, the whole thing's a failure. So, you know, I hope that those meals in the locker room are worth the billions of dollars that this collective bargaining agreement left on the table.
Talking again to David Sloan, former baseball agent. Now, you're not an agent anymore, am I correct?
I am transitioning to a new business that is in the sports field. Can't really go into much
detail.
Because
you really sound like
I'm
a politician.
Under a
you know, you sound like a politician a little bit. I mean, it sounds like you're the kind of guy that could be running for office. You really, you do.
Well,
have you done that? Are you thinking about that?
That was my major in college.
Political science?
Correct.
Okay.
There you go. You can try that, too.
Mine, too. You know what I could do with it?
Exactly. Exactly. My son has a degree in political science. He works at a wine shop.
There you go.
Well, right. David, really interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
We appreciate you coming on.
Let me ask you the one thing that I got to ask you is, do you think Van Wagenen will be successful? How about that?
Wow. I think the Vegas odds on that would probably be, I would say, about 9-2 in his favor.
Really? Okay. That's pretty high. It's pretty good odds. Not bad.
Yeah. It's decent. You know, he's been very successful doing what he's doing. And he's got the New York market. How can you screw that up?
Oh, we've seen it.
What are you talking?
We've seen it.
How can you screw with Met fans? How can you screw? You think with the Yankees?
I was being facetious, guys.
Thank God.
Making sure.
Oh my God.
The list of people that have screwed that up is long.
Oh my God, the pain.
It starts with Wilpon.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, I didn't say it.
No, it's all right. We got
you. We know you can't say it, David.
You're not negotiating with him anymore.
You might
be
an agent again, so we understand.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
I hear you.
We appreciate you popping on.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
You got it, David. Thank you.
David Sloan, former Major League Baseball agent.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.